As we continue in worship, we have the opportunity to read upon the scriptures. I'll be reading today from Exodus 20, verses 1 through 7. The words can also be found on the screen. Then God spoke all these words. Said, I'm the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents, to the third and the fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this time of worship together. We thank you for this church community, for the ways in which we strive to love you with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength by loving our neighbor as ourself, Lord. And so we are still a work in progress, but Lord, we pray that you would continue to work within us, strengthen us, give us the wisdom we need to serve you each day. God asks that you speak through me and in spite of me, that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you would have to say to us today. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, if you're here as a first-time guest, the sanctuary doesn't always look like this. We don't always have a circus theme background as far as our worship set, but this is our vacation Bible school week, which will begin tomorrow, and so we're grateful for all those who have put in a lot of hours to help get our space ready for Vacation Bible School as we serve well over 100 children this week and in teaching the love of Jesus and sharing that with each of them. And so we ask for your prayers this week for all the children and volunteers who will be participating in Vacation Bible School starting tomorrow at 9 a.m. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be in a series called No Other Gods, which invites us to look at what competes with God for first place in our hearts, loyalties, resources, and public witness. This series actually came out of the General Commission of Race and Religion of the United Methodist Church. And so as I was thinking of where to go next, this kind of series came through as a resource through the Methodist Church, and so I thought it was a good one for us for the next few weeks. So imagine someone walking into your home and rearranging all your photos. The photos you find hanging on your wall are taken down. Your family has moved to the corner shelf. Your friends that you have and all the vacations you went on are placed behind decorative items. The people you love most are still present, but they are no longer central and visible. This is often how idolatry works. We don't always remove God from our lives completely. We simply move God from the center. Tim Keller, in his book Counterfeit God, says this about idolatry. He says, an idol is anything more important to you than God. Anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God, and anything that you seek to give what you only can God, in anything you seek to give you what only God can give. Anything you that you seek to give you what only God can give. In Exodus 20, before God says, "You shall have no other gods before me," God reminds Israel, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. The commandments begin with liberation. God isn't demanding loyalty from strangers, but God is inviting faithfulness from people who have already been consecrated, rescued, and freed. God begins with grace before giving the commandment. The prohibition against other gods is rooted in relationship, not in control. And so we ask ourselves, what is the first thing we reach to when life falls apart? When the diagnosis comes? When the relationship breaks? When the future feels uncertain? What is the first thing we reach to when life falls apart? Where do we run first? Yesterday, we celebrated 4th of July. Parades, hamburgers. A couple times a year, we'll eat a hamburger. Yesterday was one of them. 4th of July, marking the adoption of the Declaration of Independence in the United States. The Declaration of Independence was more than a document signed in 1776, 250 years ago. It was a commitment to build a nation on the foundation of natural rights and God-given freedom, signaling the birth of a nation founded on principles of liberty and self-governance. Many of the founders were deeply influenced by Judeo-Christian principles. So the idea that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with unalienable rights echoed the biblical teaching that all human beings are made in the image of God, that we read about in Genesis 1:27. This spiritual foundation helped shape a republic that valued the dignity of the individual, the rule of law, and the importance of personal responsibility. So for Christians, this holiday that we celebrated yesterday has profound significance, not only as a commemoration of national freedom, but also as an opportunity to reflect on the spiritual dimensions of liberty, God's providence, and responsibilities of living as faithful citizens in a free society. It invites us to consider how principles of freedom and justice and human dignity align with biblical truths, and how they can honor God and how we can honor God in the context of our national identity. So in Exodus 20:1 through 7, it takes place at the foot of Mount Sinai, where the Israelites have just been led out of Egypt by Moses. The Israelites have been wandering in the wilderness for some time now, and they finally arrived at the mountain where God would give them the Ten Commandments. Moses is at the scene, and he's standing before the God as mediator between them and God. And as he hears these commandments and as he shares these commandments with the people, they're based out of grace. They're based out of relationship. They're based out of great love for the Israelites as they've been delivered from the Egyptians. They're guidelines that God is giving to his people to help them live in harmony with him and with one another. And they will shape their relationship with God for generations to come. Friends, we live in a world where idolatry can manifest itself in various forms like materialism or career pursuits or even a political party. These commandments remind us where to prioritize what is sacred and holy. It requires us to be attentive to what and where we place our attention. They require us to put God above all other things in our lives, not allowing anyone or anything else to take God's place as our ultimate priority. And when we do this, when we align ourselves with God's will, we foster a deeper connection with God, and we grow in our relationship and fulfillment. Friends, these do's and these commandments are not merely a list of do's or don'ts, but they're a roadmap for a fulfilling and purposeful existence. As we celebrate the 4th of July, it prompts us to consider the deeper meaning of freedom in the framework of our relationship with Jesus. While this holiday celebrates political liberty, the Bible speaks of greater freedom found in Christ. Jesus declared in John 8:36, If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. This freedom from sin and death provides a lens through which Christians can view earthly freedoms. In Galatians 5:13, it says, the Apostle Paul reminds believers to use your freedom to serve one another in love. Use your freedom to serve one another in love. And so as we celebrate 4th of July as people of God, we use our freedom as a way to advance God's kingdom by advocating for justice, by protecting the vulnerable, and by sharing the gospel. 4th of July, it's a chance to celebrate God's gift of freedom, reflect on his providence, and be a steward of the freedoms that God has given us. So here we are. We're like 250 years into this nation as a free country. 250 years. This freedom, with this freedom comes responsibilities. As we give thanks for all the freedoms we have, for all those who sacrificed to help us get where we are, for the founding fathers who envisioned a nation where citizens could exercise their faith freely through relationship, not through control, I believe we've gotten a lot right. We've gotten many things right. Many freedoms that give us opportunities. Whether one desires to create something new, to succeed, to worship, to pray, to explore, we have the freedom to do so much. But I also think we have some work to do as a nation as we seek to really be a place where all men and women are created equal and endowed by their Creator with rights echoed in biblical teaching that all human beings are made in the image of God. We're still a work in progress. Even after 250 years, we're not perfect. We haven't reached the perfection place. We're still a work in progress with things to improve on. But it comes through relationship, not through control. So it makes me think about a team that wins a game. They won. And during that post-game interview, the player says, "We're going to take some time. We're going to celebrate this great victory. But we're going to go look at the film. We're going to see where we need to improve, where we need to make some adjustments so that we can do better next time. Because I really feel like we can do better." Yesterday, we celebrated 250 years as a nation. Today, we gather in worship, seeking to continue to strive and put our focus on learning to love more like Jesus, who sets us free. America's future, like its past, will depend on courage and convictions and prayers of people seeking God, living out that greatest commandment that Jesus tells us of loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So as we join today, we worship a God who sets us free so that we might share God's love with all those who we encounter. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we do indeed feel and experience blessing. We feel your love around us. But it's, Lord, we know that it's not just a blessing for us, but a blessing that we might be a blessing to others. As we have experienced your great love that sets us free, may we freely offer that love to those who have yet to know it. May we share it and treat each and every person as a child of God in a way that follows your example in humility and in grace. God, as we continue to seek you, as we continue to strive to love more like you, may we do that boldly. May we serve joyfully and may we lead courageously in all that we say and all that we do. God, we thank you for this time of worship today. We pray all this in Christ's holy name. Amen.